We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hobbit.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the News of the World, read by Brian Perkins.
Before planting large tubs, elderly gardeners should fit casters to the bottom so they can move easily.
To David Casey of East Molesey for that. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and John Bird. And challenging them on my left, Alan Corran and Linda Smith. Francis, your first question. Who will be releasing sex and lies on videotape? That's a teaser, isn't it?
This isn't Bill Clinton, is it?
2 points. Good.
This chap, President Clintestosterone, has been... he's in a bit of a pickle. Because first there was a Star report, which was bad enough, and then came this video of Clinton testifying to the grand jury, which is a bit like an episode of Mastermind with poor old Clinton in the chair, and he's asked... Did you ever give any gifts or presents to Ms. Lewinsky? And he says, no. I splashed out on a dress. sorry about that. That's the gist of it. This filthy video is being released on top of the Star report. And his only friend left in the world is our own Prime Minister. Isn't that sweet? There was a statement from Downing Street saying, Tony Blair does not dump people just because some report appears on the internet. he only dumps them if their name is Harriet Harman or Frank Field. It's actually a useful tip, because if you get involved in a scandal, Tony Blair is your friend for life. I mean, you see all these people like Jeffrey Robinson and Robin Cook, immune from reshuffles, because they've been hauled through the papers.
Tony Blair is going to Washington, isn't he, to have a conference with Clinton and Romano Prodi,
yes,
on the third way. the other two ways have been explored relentlessly, I think, by Mr. Clinton.
A bit puzzled by this outrage over the fact that he was having sex while he was on the phone talking to some congressmen. So I just thought the bad manners there is the phoning up while you're having sex, really.
Well, didn't you have an answering service that said, I'm sorry he's engaged at the moment, the other caller knows he is there? The problem is history is going to disentangle this and find its footnotes, because I noticed in that list of presents, she sent him an ornamental monkey with a note that said, you'll know what this is for. And I thought about it for 6 days, and I haven't arrived.
It's for the third way.
You'd think it's a very good time to call him up, wouldn't you, if you wanted more appropriations for your constituency. You'd say, Mr. President, I need your answer now, yes or no. And you'd hear him saying, yes, yes. Meanwhile, the President has given up on political advisers and instead has called on the services of holy leaders to improve his moral standing, though so far he's resisted calling up the Reverend Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart. He and Monica are engaged in phone sex, which Monica told the Commission made her feel cheap, especially after six and at weekends. John, welcome to the news quiz. Who's been complaining about illegitimate gluttons?
Yes, this is the TUC, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And... the man who is pictured with his mouth open... Oh, God, we're back to Clinton again. At the TUC conference, calling fat cats greedy bastards.
Company directors who give themselves £50,000 pay rises while their employees make do with a couple of £100 are not greedy bastards. They are valued contributors to the Labour Party and close friends of Tony Blair. Many of them own television companies. Doesn't do to offend these people.
No.
A motion to the floor at the TUC stating that bosses are in receipt of unbelievable figures was carried on a quick show of hands by 46 million votes to 5. 2 points to John. Linda, who wants to flatten unloved flats?
Oh, Tony Blair wants to get rid of these, awful housing estates all around Britain, as sink estates. But he's been pipped to the post by Prince Charles, who's come up with his own ideas about this, improving terrible estates. And I can't help feeling that he may have the edge on Tony here, because Tony's a bit posh. He doesn't really have the common touch that Prince Charles has, I feel. He's had experience, you see, of living on dreadful estates. Surrounded by, you know, problem families, heavy drinking, maniacs running round with loaded guns.
Mr. Blair said the squalid nature of some of the flats he visited made him convinced that the residents were condemned either to lives of unmitigated poverty, or worse, a return visit from the changing rooms team. Alan, listen to this. Now troubles may come, troubles may go, but they always find me ready. Up on the hill, playing still, just like Eddie. Just like Eddie by Heinz, the albino rocker. Alan, which old-timer complained about a young people's party?
It's not that Eddie. It's not Eddie George.
No.
Oh. This is the other unlike Eddie. This is the meek on, isn't it? It's William Hague.
No.
It's thinking.
Oh, well, yes.
It's William Hague, who is in exact simulacrum of Edward Heath. If you look at them, you see that in about 60 years, Hague will look exactly like Edward Heath.
Years, will it, for William Hague to look like Edward
Heath?
Nine.
He's 80.
Yes, but he's a replicant, isn't he? And he's ageing at a different rate to the rest of us.
He's very folkish, isn't he? You imagine Fionn, the lovely Fionn, lying in bed, and then he climbs in next to her in his three-piece pyjamas.
Fionn gave
it. Oh, damn it! I've got the wrong trousers on.
Yes, the former Tory leader, Sir Edward Heath, protested the Conservatives had lurched even further to the right under William Hague's leadership. Sir Edward said that if he were a young man today, he wouldn't join the Conservative Party. He'd be put off it by that sulky, fat old geezer who keeps whinging all the time. In Parliament, Sir Edward is, of course, father of the House, and as far as Mr. Hague is concerned, the farther, the better. So, at the end of round one, the scores are Francis and John, 4, Alan and Linda, with 4. And we start round two with a notice seen in a Bristol cemetery.
To reduce costs, it would be appreciated if people trimmed the grass around their own graves.
Thanks to Simon Allen of Little Gaddenson for that. Francis, who was being told push, push, and then push off?
Push, push, and then push off.
It's to do with Bristol hospitals, where ladies of a certain state, pregnant, are told to go home as the baby comes out.
Yes, that's right. And in the very week when Anne Widdecombe said how she wished she'd had children. This from the woman who knows so much about the practicalities of childbirth that she used to chain and shackle people to their beds while they were in labour.
People might quite fancy that now, just to stay in a bit longer.
I know. Just because she hates Michael Howard.
Yes, that's it. Maternity hospitals are telling expectant mothers to leave hospital 6 hours after giving birth. Plans for St. Michael's in Bristol to offer women water births have also been scrapped after the council announced plans to shut the local swimming pool. John, who was accused of taking the soft option on a hard drug?
Somebody in the audience has got this.
Oh, you knew this. You knew this would come up, John.
It's not Viagra, is it?
Yes, I think so.
There we are, that wasn't hard.
It's something to do with its cost, isn't it? Which is £4.80 a tablet or something like that. The minimum wage isn't quite up to that. Yes, so you can only take...
It's Dobbo, isn't it? Dobson. Health Secretary.
He's taking them, is he?
Yeah. He's just trying to save the National Health Service. He said it would bankrupt the NHS. Private doctors can prescribe it privately. But he did say health authorities can give it in cases of exceptional need. Such as a chap in his 50s who's trying to repair his marriage and restart conjugal relations with his wife after...
Don't give Clinton any of this stuff. I've seen numerous documentaries last week in which quite ageing people were sitting in their living rooms. People do anything to get on television, don't they? Yes, I'm 75 and my wife is 83 and we have been using this kind of bicycle pump up to now. Well, I'm quite happy about that, but the wife feels rather left out. So we're now going to take this little pill. And there's this strange kind of Beckettian dialogue follows, saying, yes, how do you feel? We said, well, I can feel something. So I'm going, what is it? A sort of tingle.
Yes. Then they say weird things as well, like, well, did it work? And they say, well, about 80%. These impotent men appearing from? I mean, for years it was, no, never, never happened before, never happened to me before. Suddenly there's millions of them.
You got a lot. Did you get a lot of that, Linda?
Not statistically significant, Simon, no.
Yes, all that was true. So, 2 points. Linda, listen to this song. Linda, why has a ceasefire been declared at Earl's Court?
Ha-ha, Earl's Court, I know what this is. It's the bloody royal tournament. Because I've suffered from this for years. It's the sort of programme your mum and dad always wanted to watch. And it was like Andy Stewart at the White Heather Club. It would seem to last for about 3 weeks and your mum will be making sandwiches and bringing flasks in to keep you going. And it will just be a load of blokes, I don't know, taking guns apart and putting them back together again. And Alsatians leaping over planks and searching for bags of aniseed balls or something. It wasn't very entertaining, to be honest. But now they've decided that the royal tournament, it isn't very good. They've decided it's not very now and happening and Oasis and Cool Britannia. And now they're going to just make it trendier, really. I don't know what they're going to do. I suppose instead of stripping guns down, they're going to be, I don't know, stripping cappuccino machines down.
They want to make it modern and relevant,
To
today's armed forces. That's what George Robertson, the Defence Secretary, said. So instead of all these field gun races, which I used to rather enjoy myself, you'll have teams from the various services seeing which of them can sink 16 pints of lager first. And then there'll be the famous annual event where you have the Sex Discrimination Industrial Tribunal hearing involving the wrens and the missing knickers. And then at the end of it, Tony Blair will press a button, the grand finale, and let off a lot of cruise missiles against the local branch of Boots in case it's selling canisters.
Dr. Robertson is very odd as a kind of defence minister because you kind of see him going into a shop saying, I'd like 2 ground surface to air missiles, please. Do you have them in batter?
Ministry of Defence have scrapped the Royal Tournament because it's too expensive. It's been struggling, and last year's experiment of modelling part of it on the TV show Gladiators was considered a failure. Members of the armed forces were particularly embarrassed during the hand-to-hand combat section of the show because it turned out that rifles with bayonets proved no match for giant cotton buds. Alan, whose bill proved to be a major headache?
This is the 400,000 quid that John Major was slapped with. They're called Whitfield Boodle, I think. It's a wonderful name for solicitors. Anyway, they were sorting out the late Princess of Wales's will. The kids only get 13.5 million. And John Major, for some reason, was charged with being their guardian for these purposes, and he didn't pay the bill. It was, I don't know where it was. It was on the mantelpiece behind the clock or the teapot. Keeping the place in Norma's bedside trollop. But he won't have to pay it himself.
Why was he chosen as financial guardian to these princes?
Because he used to be an accountant, didn't he? In fact, he was the only person on record who's ever run away from the circus to be an accountant.
Lawyers say Mr. Major was the perfect man for this job, as he'd been used to presenting appalling bills during his time in office. And the scores at the end of round 2 are, everybody, 8 points. And before we try to break the deadlock in round 3, we have a cutting from the Kent Messenger.
St. Dunstan's Church, West Peckham. Classical music to appeal to all tastes and ages will be performed by Peter Bonnet. Tickets cost £4, including wine and nibbles from the rector.
Thanks to Mrs. Carolyn Cabrera of Mereworth in Kent for that. Francis, whose heart belongs to Nanny?
Yes.
It's about sheep, isn't it?
Yes.
This one about Oedipus complex in sheep. Lambs fancy their mothers.
Nanny goats, how frightfully clever. Where do they...
Well, I was wondering about nanny, because it wasn't goats, it was sheep, and they can't...
No, it was goats as well.
Was it?
Yeah. So if you have a baby goat and give it to a mummy sheep, the goat will then follow the herd, or rather flock, of sheep for the rest of its life, and will not acknowledge goats as members of the same breed.
Surely goats should be adopted by goats, because they won't keep up their goat culture, will they? Sheep, they won't know all the sort of goat history.
Astonishing, we've managed to do all these things about sheep and goats and sex without ever mentioning Welshmen. I don't know how we've done it. But that's what they do. They fancy their mothers.
Researchers in Cambridge swapped the families of goats and sheep, so kids were raised by ewes, male lambs by nanny goats. They found that ties between males and their mothers were especially strong, and also came up with a rather fetching Aran sweater with astrakhan sleeves. The researchers found further evidence of how much they loved their mothers when several of the young male lambs were found to be seriously involved in East End gangland crimes. So one point to Alan for getting it and one to Francis for answering it. John, listen to this music. A swimming song by Loudon Wainwright. John, who was worried that their ratings might not take a dip?
Oh, this is the Royal Navy, isn't it? Because they found that the sailors can't swim. But, I mean, I would have thought the Royal Navy was a bit defeatist to expect the sailors to swim.
Like that last bit in Titanic when Leonardo DiCaprio goes under. It's a good bit. My favourite bit in the film, then. Suspicions were first aroused when nervous recruits were caught in Hong Kong having verrucas tattooed on their feet. Officers' fears were then confirmed after ratings on manoeuvres in the Atlantic insisted on staying in the shallow end. 2 points to John. Linda, why is the fog on the Tyne the thickest in Britain?
Ha-ha. Gaza.
Yes.
It's this survey of the relative thickness of celebrities. And... funny enough, officially, the thickest man in Britain is Gaza. And the tenth most stupid celebrity in Britain was Jeffrey Archer. Now, of course, he's claiming that he was the fifth most stupid. Number five. Of course, I've always thought his books were number twos, but... so that was that, but it... There were bizarre things, like the cleverest people were picked, like Carol Vorderman, she just pipped Stephen Hawking, just. If only he could add up better.
Yes, Gaza was named Britain's most stupid man in a survey in Focus magazine. Also accepting her award in the Britain's brainiest woman category, Carol Vorderman said she'd like to thank one person in the front row, two people in the second, and three more from any row. So, at the end of round three, Francis and John have an excellent 11, but Alan and Linda have nudged into the lead with 13 points. Before we start the final round, here's a clipping from the Loo, Polperro and Cornish Times.
Apologies to our readers for last week's time travel mistake in the Cornish Times when the wrong date was inadvertently put on the paper. A special sorry goes to the lady who rang to say she had missed her birthday, which was on August the 2nd.
Thanks to Beverly Van Hoof of Sheffield. Francis, your music.
Took its feet off, even took the seat off. Should have got us somewhere, but no. So Fred said, let's have another cup of tea. And we said, righto.
Francis, why are American scientists so excited about the latest beverage report?
Well, it could be to do with tea. to judge by your choice of sonata. But it's one of those surveys that says that tea is either very good for you or very bad for you. They alternate. I think this year it's good for you.
You can't have it on the NHS because everybody will want it.
But it's proper tea. I mean, it's like, 'cause did you see Blair when he went up to the North East this week? Picture of him being man of the people, sort of sitting down with some workers. He'd heard about these people before, he thought he'd better go and see some. And they were sitting at this table with cups of tea, and I could just imagine when they said, would you like a cup of tea, Mr. Blair? Said, oh, rather. Lapsang, if you don't mind.
Well, I think that's a bit unfair on Blair. I mean, he wants to go. There aren't going to be many workers left in the North East, and say he wanted to see them while they were still around. I also remember an American senator going to a mining disaster. I can't remember which senator it was, and looked down the hole and said, it's a real tragedy. These men are a dying breed.
It's rubbish, this survey, isn't it? Because British people drink loads of tea and we all die. Can't be that good for you. What about biscuits? Do they cure anything?
We British have always been partial to a cuppa, though it took a while to persuade the scientists in Washington that the phrase, as long as it's warm and wet, had not come from the Kenstar report. John, who's B&Bing at Her Majesty's pleasure?
You can go to Pentonville for a weekend. Is it
Brixton?
Is this
one? Brixton, yeah.
Oh, Brixton. For a bit. What the hell? Getting beat up is getting beat up wherever you are.
You have to pay extra for Holloway if you're a man.
Well, that's... Yeah. Yes, you can pay £50 and go to prison for the weekend. But you could go to prison for free if you if you stole £50, and then you'd have the £50.
You'd be £100 better off.
Yeah, you'd be £50 better off, absolutely. And you'd have still spent a weekend in prison, which is what you wanted in the first place.
Two prisoners in Milton Keynes, Nick, are suing the prison authority because their beds are hard. Wonderful story this week.
Had concrete beds, didn't they?
Concrete beds and cardboard furniture.
Didn't know there was a prison in Milton Keynes.
The whole of Milton Keynes. What a thing.
Yes, Brixton High Security Prison is offering 200 guests a chance at £50 a head to stay in the cells overnight as part of a charity fundraiser. Prison guards say they'll take the evening in their stride, as having innocent people behind bars in Brixton is a bit of local tradition. 2 points to John. Linda, whose assets were frozen before being sold to the highest bidder?
Yes, Scott of the Antarctic.
That's, yes.
This is the answer, isn't it? There's this bloke who... collected all these bits and pieces. This is some little candle lamp. I don't know why I bothered going to Antarctica for it. You get those in IKEA, can't you? Habitat. But anyway, they were going to sell them at Christie's, but then people said, oh, no, this is destroying the... Because then, you see, you could just pick up stuff in Antarctica all those years back. That was when Antarctica was Antarctica, and you could just leave your hut open and you could... You'd leave your hut open and you'd go off for 1,000 miles, you'd come back, well, you wouldn't come back if you're British, you'd be dead, but in theory you could come back and nothing was missing. But and they were saying, no, this is terrible, it's a heritage site, you've got to return all this stuff to Antarctica. So it's been withdrawn, it's gone back to Antarctica, and it's gone to, I think, the National Trust are opening a little tea rooms, and he's selling seal blubber fudge or something. That's what this is.
Yes. Rumours abounded that the sale was to include a page from Scott's diary in which he bemoaned the lack of female company or filling food in the Antarctic, saying he was unable even to pick up a penguin. The excited auctioneers had given pride of place in their catalogue to the Union Jack, which Scott planted at the pole, only to discover later it was a pair of Ginger Spice's knickers left over from another sale. Alan, why are we running out of space?
This is one about the sky getting smaller.
Yes.
My sky doesn't exist. I couldn't understand this. I mean, scientists always leave me cold. They've been looking at the sky since 1953, and they've noticed it's got 25 feet smaller, 25 miles smaller. I mean, how can you do that? How can you measure it? You look at the sky, it's 25. What do they mean, 25? It doesn't even exist. It's that blue thing.
So where's the shortfall?
I don't know. I think it's...
Is it between the ground?
Over Bembridge. It's just a mile or two over Bembridge. I don't know.
The sky is falling in on us, according to research by the eminent scientist Dr. Chicken Licken. The research... The research was carried out by bombarding the atmosphere with radio waves, which have been decreasing steadily over the past few years, in particular since the Archers was moved from the 145 slot. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is from a Daily Telegraph obituary of Rodney G., who won a military cross in the First World War and has died at the age of 100. But to judge by this obituary, the most important thing about him was his school days, of which he retained vivid memories. The only source of heat for 40 boys in his house was an open fire in the hall. Sometimes they would strip a senior boy naked just before the housemaster came in to say evening prayers. G was twice roasted in front of the fire, like Tom Brown, until his clothes began to scorch, and he was beaten regularly. But overall, he enjoyed his school days.
John.
This is from the Singapore Straits Times, and it's an advertisement announcing a public forum on male sexual health organised by the Singapore Urological Association, capacity 450 participants on a first-come, first-served basis.
Linda.
This is a reader's letter in the Eastern Daily Press. A letter from Mr. W. Thompson. Last night I had a long discussion with some friends about siting wind farms in Norfolk. All were against the idea. After all, we have and always have had a surplus of wind in Norfolk. Surely it would be more sense to site these farms near to the people who want the wind. This is yet another case of Coles to Newcastle. Will the planners never learn?
Alan.
Well, I've got a tiny item from Downton Chronicle. Does nothing except create certain mystery. It says thieves broke into Saffa's wine warehouse last Friday night after distracting the guard dog with an inflatable woman.
So at the end of round four, our scores are Francis and John, a creditable 15, but Alan and Linda, this week's winners, with 17 points. And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Ween, Linda Smith and John Byrne. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and Jed Parsons. And the producer was John Rolfe.